So everyone, thanks for coming. I'm sorry for the logistical nightmare. This was kind of a last minute thing that just kind of happened on Twitter. Andre, as many of you may or may not know, Andre wrote a blog back in June, I think. Was it June? Well, whatever. He wrote a blog, basically an open letter to non-persistent fanboys. These are the non-persistent fanboys on my left. And this is the persistent fanboys on my right.
There we go.
And I just thought it would be fun here at VMworld to have these guys debate. And let me just do a quick introduction. Andre's from VMware. Sean Bass is a consultant slash genius. This is Jason Langone from Nutanix. And Jason Maddox, CTO of Liquidware Labs. I'm just here as a moderator. I'm Gunnar Berger. I'm with Gartner. I'm just kind of moderating the debate. But if you guys want to go ahead with an introduction of what you guys think about this whole debate, and I guess I'll limit you to a couple minutes.
Is there some kind of Gartner disclosure you have to say?
This is not a Gartner-sanctioned thing. I work at Gartner. Everything I do obviously represents my company. I completely respect that. But this is not a Gartner debate. I'm just here as another person in the field that really cares about this industry, and I'm actually really interested in what these guys have to say. So I really just kind of got some of the smartest guys I know to come and be a part of this debate. And so here they are, and I'm glad to present them to you, and I'm glad to have this out on the web. So
open up with like a summary of the blog post.
Sure. So this is something that I have been thinking for a little while, okay? And my blog post, I need more than 2 minutes to set the stage.
Go ahead.
Okay?
Well, it's fine. Go.
So something that I have been thinking for a little while, and I actually was in response to Harry Labana's blog on using trying to create the perfect non-persistent desktop, right? Being able to maintain applications and managing a whole new different way that would benefit organizations and specific use cases. So I just want to set the stage on, it's not that I only support persistent desktops. I think there are use cases, and we will discuss about that. But just like to start saying, so everything started with full clones. Okay, in the past, everything was full clones. Some unlucky users that adopted VDI a long time ago, they had direct attached disks, and they would suffer with performance. That was the reality, okay? The lucky ones were able to deploy VDI in SAN and using the same storage capabilities they were using for server workloads, so they had some additional performance. However, we all know storage costs were a great barrier, big barrier for adoption. Not so much for capacity, in the past capacity, but then it started to be all about performance. Next came link clones, and link clones really came about because we had performance issues, and we had capacity issues. So when we released link clones for the first time, and VMware was not the only with similar technologies, there were other companies doing similar technologies over there, was really about trying to save on capacity. And that worked very well, but it didn't solve the performance problem that we had, right? So VMware, after that, VMware came up with something called storage tiering, or it's called the Vue storage tiering, which allows you to put the replica disk on a pool of SSD drives and have your...
Go ahead, just keep going, sorry.
And have your clones in whatever type of media you want. So that's how things evolved. However, you know, when we looked at, and we, after we created link clones, we also came up with the idea of non-persistent desktops, which is the idea that you can, you know, always refresh and recompose that desktop, and it's always in a pristine state, and just unload and load the user profile data and applications. So applications came along later on the stage, right? We just actually reaching the stage where we can actually do that with applications efficiently. So I was looking at all that, and my claim is the storage technology that is available today have caught up with what we were trying to do. Nowadays, you can buy storage and you can create architectures that will offer great capacity and great performance without having to create all these additional layers and story about recomposing and recloning, and yet allowing you to manage your desktops in the same way your organization have been managing for the past 15 years. Ineffectively, there are solutions that have been out there for 15, 25 years, and they know better than anyone how to manage Windows instances and Windows desktops. So my claim is, why do we need to change the way we're managing? And before anybody starts talking about Horizon Mirage and everything, I'm sure people will mention that. Don't worry. I have an answer. You know, why do we need to change the way you manage if we actually have been very efficient in managing physical and virtual machines using the existing tools? My team's trained, I don't have to invest in training, I don't have to invest in new tools to manage the solution. I think that set the stage for why we're here today.
Okay. Jason, you want to respond to that? Or just go ahead and set the stage for you.
Yeah, so I think there's technologies that have evolved over time to create the layers you need to make, you know, non-persistent really successful. You know, it's been really recent. I do understand the argument of wanting to manage the desktop the old way, you know, and keep my IT practices the same. But when talking to clients, they want to have that bursting ability of non-persistence, like on Super Bowl Sunday with their web servers. They want to have desktops pools expanding and contracting on demand and have the layers they need to go beyond the task worker and get more done than just the task worker, the teller, and things, you know, like that. So we can go into more of the power user and get the power user into a non-persistent pool for being able to refresh quickly and all the things that non-persistent brings. I think that technology has evolved along with the storage to solve this problem. And customers are open to looking at alternatives, you know, from the top down. You know, you have large, you know, telco companies looking at ways to do this differently, even though it's been 30 years in the same tools. You know, I think they're open to it.
Go ahead, John.
Okay, so my issue on the discussion about image-based management, which is really what we're talking about for non-P, versus persistent management, which is what we do with traditional PC lifecycle management tools, is when you look at doing VDI for a company, you're going to have to make some hard decisions on where VDI is most applicable to your user base. Because in most circumstances, regardless of the company, you're going to find there are people that cannot use VDI in your organization. So if you have users that cannot use VDI, you're going to give them a laptop, or you're going to give them a desktop, or some such situation. Now, how do you perform management of those endpoint devices? You're going to use a PC lifecycle management tool, because there are no image-based management tools aside from a type 1, type 2 hypervisor style solution or whatever, and that gets outside of the scope of this conversation. But how are you going to manage those devices? You're going to use a config manager, or a SCCM. You're going to use a LAN desk. You're going to use Altiris. So if I'm going to already be using Altiris and SCCM to manage the physical endpoints, then if I decide to use an image-based management to manage my VDI desktops, now I have this duality of operational expense that I do things one way in one scenario, and I do them in another way in another scenario. I've actually doubled my operational expense. To me, that doesn't make cost-effective sense for a business to do. So tell me how that works and how that's better. And don't get me wrong. If you're a company that's like 50 users and you can get away with image management for all 50 users, hats off to you. Non-persistent makes total sense.
So I just want to make sure I understand this correctly. So you're saying you've got a way to manage physical desktops today that is working,
right?
According to you. Show of hands, who has gone to VDI for some kind of gain in manageability? If there's any consultants. I know there's a couple of consultants. I did plant him, so he doesn't count. Nobody else?
You're talking to the wrong audience here. Yeah, these guys deploy it. They're not.
So, you know, I think the reality is, right, physical desktops aren't perfect to manage. No desktop is perfect to manage. However, the tools that you're going to use for physical SCCM, probably being the most likely, is still very easy to use in a virtual environment. And the reality is, on the physical side, you've got 1,000, 10,000, 5,000 endpoints. There's no way you're going to be successful at managing each and every one of them. Right, it's 1,000 at bats. No one hits a home run in 1,000 at bats, right?
So I got a counterpoint to that. And the counterpoint is, in order to access the VDI desktop, you have to access it from some kind of an endpoint device. If that endpoint device is a Windows instance, or even a Windows embedded thin client instance,
you still need zero clients.
Okay, and zero clients are great, but then we'll have the contending argument about how are you going to do things like link. RTP communication point to point, which cannot be done on a thin client. How are you going to do things like flash acceleration, which cannot be done on a zero client? So everything involves trade-offs. You've got to make decisions somewhere on which trade-offs you're willing to make. And one of my big arguments on this is, if you can't achieve 100% virtual desktop scenario, you have to have physical PCs. You have to have a management layer for them. So even the guys that drove to do VDI for improving lifecycle management, it was probably because they had 100 distributed offices and their config manager implementation didn't work very well with the distributed sites. So they moved to VDI to get that central to make that better. But at the end of the day, if they still have 20% footprint on laptops in the field, you're not solving that with VDI. You still have to have a plan B for that. And now you've got dual operational expense maintaining both scenarios, and that is not cost effective.
How is it dual? I'm a little confused.
Well, I'm a little confused on the dual because you're using the same framework, right? So it's not like I have to manage double the amount of endpoints. I have the same amount of endpoints, or maybe even fewer the amount of endpoints because I'm hoteling or whatever it might
be. Well, what I'm getting at is if you go into the approach of trying to do non-persistent and you want to do some form of layered or some form of, you know, differential disk type thing, you're going to have some kind of a recompose process going to have to be done. So you may end up using a tool like Config Manager to update your core master image, but then you still have to have some other tools in place to handle how the non-P machines get their updates that is different from how the physical machines get their updates. Because you don't want to use System Center and put a patch or an application update across a bunch of non-persistent machines that when they reboot, they're going to revert anyway. So you do have to maintain them differently in a VDI world than you do in a physical PC world.
So Jason,
in addition to that, I'm still... the whole idea when you start to offloading profiles and user data in applications, the whole idea of security that when you recompose and refresh the desktop is gone because you are offloading, you are reloading everything again. If there is any threats or any Trojans there, it will come back. So there's no real point to, if the approach is for security, I don't think it makes sense.
No. So you're saying if I've got a desktop, I'm logged in, I've got a linked clone, I go hit some site I shouldn't hit, and I get an infected file. When it recomposes, that file is still there?
Well, if the infected file is part of your roaming profile or your layer that you are offloading, when you recreate the desktop, it will come back.
It depends on how you're doing the non-persistent, right? So if I'm doing a user profile and all I'm caring about is maybe wallpaper and printers and things like that, there's probably a good chance it's not going to be caught in there. If I'm doing applications inside the image, I would argue you probably have a greater security footprint to worry about because you got apps now in that gold image. When the apps are on separate layers, if let's say, I don't know, Skype, right? You got Skype and it's a separate layer and it's easy to patch, vulnerability is determined, we can easily patch, you know, 1,000 desktops, non-persistent, because we've separated the app layer from the desktop, which in the persistent world, according to your blog, it was all put everything in the desktop.
Hold on.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't use a persona solution. I think you still should use, not only because it's a good way to prevent against failures and high availability, and you can use tools, you know, for again, VMware, there's Liquidware Labs, but it's doing persistent or non-persistent, you should still use it. But my point here is when you offload all that content to your shared array and you load it again, if there are any critical problems there, viruses, Trojans, they will be loaded again. So from a security perspective, doing the refresh won't solve anything.
I want to question to Jason Maddox, because you actually create these technologies that enable this. And I want to ask the question of, is it more secure to do a non-persistent desktop?
Well, so if you look at the layers that you're, the only persistent layer in a non-persistent world, if you've abstracted the applications correctly, along with the user-installed apps, the departmental-installed apps, the user persona, the only persistent layer is the user persona itself. The application layer is all read-only, right? So those applications are going to get tossed away. They've got a temporary write cache. Those are going to get thrown away. Now, user-installed apps would be the area where it might get infection, and user persona might get infected. So, but the recomp is going to be instantaneous, right? On non-persistent pool, it's going to go by quick. Unless you've got the right storage backend for persistent, that recomp's going to take a long time, and you're going to have to plan how you're going to do that. You know, there are VIA technologies and ways to help that, but that's not across the board. You know, you've got a new infrastructure you've got to put in to make that happen versus a software solution you can drop in, and now you've managed these layers separately, so you can make it. I wouldn't say more secure, but recovery is going to be faster, right? You're going to recover a lot quicker from that situation.
So that's actually awesome because there have never been any viruses in Office document templates. So if we restore that back, there's no risk to the virtual desktop when we bring back the user data, user persona information, because that would never happen. Secondarily, if we allow user-installed applications, which, by the way, is a stupid use case, user wants to install Foxit because they don't like Adobe Reader, right?
By the way.
So they decide to install Foxit. And they've got Foxit that is like 7 versions old. And they get compromised. Your corporate desktop has now been compromised by the user-installed app that you're not maintaining because you're specifically deciding not to maintain it because it's a user-installed app. This is a horrible security posture to have.
Well, user-installed apps, you have to put a framework around it. You can't leave it wide open. There's no way. You've got to put a policy in place that says you can only install these apps from this network location. They're pre-approved by the organization ahead of time. They're read-only. They're hashed. They're all that security layer has to be in place for user-installed apps. If you do leave it wide open, that's a disaster. Agreed. You know, that's definitely going to happen.
Does that matter, persistent versus non-persistent? You can
say it again.
I'm going to say, does that really matter, persistent versus non-persistent? I mean, you could make that fatal flaw either way.
No, of course. And I don't think it's a differential thing between persistent and non-persistent. My argument is, since non-persistent VDI has existed, everyone crawls out of the woodwork saying, this is a security solution. It's impervious to malware and Trojans and that kind of stuff, primarily because we can reboot and recompose and it just wipes itself away. That's great, except for the fact that you're infected for the next 8 hours, or the fact that people don't log off their virtual desktops and they're logged into it for 3 weeks and you're infected that entire time. So from my perspective, it's like, that sounds good on paper. In practice, it doesn't work that way.
I think Jason's point was awesome. They both can get infected. If you get the call, oh shit, there's a virus hitting our infrastructure, it's all over the third floor, which of the two can you recover from quicker? Right, that's the real question, right? Infections are going to happen, people look at stuff they shouldn't download, and you know, people have full admin rights in a lot of organizations. The reality is, when you get the call, the oh shit call, who can recover quicker? And I definitely would agree that the non-persistent side, assuming you've done it right and you've got the right point in time snapshots, I could recover to last Thursday before.
And I would argue that depends on where the malware is. If the malware is in the normal DOT, then no matter how many times you recompose, it's coming back.
New direction.
Agreed. It's the same problem on both sides, right?
Yeah.
I definitely agreed on that.
I lost my train of thought here.
Andre,
I had a question. You guys kept on going.
Could you differentiate between...
Management.
Could you differentiate not between persistent and non-persistent, but reading the article, I could see how folks would be confused on the underlying provisioning mechanism, which actually isn't necessarily tied to whether a desktop is persistent or non-persistent. Right? Full, linked,
Sure. Well, the real truth, you can still do non-persistent desktops with linked clones or full clones. It doesn't matter. You can re-instantiate the full clone. The problem with full clones is that with most storage solutions, it would take a long time to recreate and recustomize, while with link clones would be a lot faster, right? So the discussion here, we're not, because people normally associate non-persistent with link clones, right? And unfortunately, it doesn't necessarily mean. But what we're talking about here is how you manage that desktop. What PC lifecycle management are you using to manage applications and how you're deploying applications. And again, what I see, and you know, I'm happy to be to be wrong. And I even wrote an article, post that article, talking about a new model of desktop. What I don't remember what I called it. I called it a new name, which is what Mirage is actually supporting. So Mirage, you'll be able to use it, but they are non-persistent in the way that you can reinstantiate the desktop, but it's not that you recompose or you refresh in every time you log off. So you have persistent while the desktop exists. If the desktop doesn't exist anymore, you're quickly able to recreate using the layering technology that is available.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think we're getting a little like nitty-gritty config on the desktop pool. I mean, I look at last 2 days of keynotes, even last year. What do we hear every year we come to VMworld for the last couple of years? Moving to the cloud and all this cloud bullshit. But in reality, what is, I mean, come on, right? The reality is, that's about, if I look at how would I design something in Amazon, which is probably the bar for most cloud providers, it should be for all cloud providers. the thought is my data lives outside of the instance, right? I've got an instance doing whatever it is. If that instance dies or blue screens or explodes, it doesn't matter. I spin up another one. I point it to this persistent data layer over here, and on we go. And I would argue that desktops should follow that same model.
Sure. So are you designing your solution for IT or for your users? Because your user wants to be able to deploy their applications and manage the desktops in the way they want. That's what I like, and that's what you guys like. So it's fine to do that for task workers that doesn't need to install any applications. Despite they might want to do that, you're not allowing them. But now you're also talking about limiting knowledge users. And I know there are new solutions coming to the market. You know, I know Liquidware Labs has something I have never tested, I don't know. And they are a partner, okay? And they are a partner. So I'm more than keen, actually, we talked about it. I really want to see it. But to this day, managing applications through layers without actually maintaining the desktops, the way you guys are doing and the way Mirage is doing, was not very feasible. It didn't really work. Are things changing? Yes. But at this point in time, does it make sense to go this way? Or we do have storage technologies that allow us just to do what we know how to do. And we've been doing for the past 25 years.
But I think if you look at customers, they're trying to do ThinApp. They're trying to do ThinApp across physical and virtual. They're looking at the new technologies, the way they manage virtual. They want to bring the net new technologies to physical, manage them the same, but get the benefits of the new way of doing things in IT. Not everybody wants to do, you know, SCCM deployments across, you know, physical machines and virtual machines. And in a virtual machine environment, if you're going to do that, you can take down a host or a LUN by having so many apps being deployed at one time, you know, or you go in the base image. Now you've got a recomp problem if they're in the base image. So customers are looking at what companies are doing in the virtual space for VDI and trying to apply it to physical if they can, to your point about wanting one way to do things, but they're looking at newer ways to do it that's more innovative than what's been out there for 15 years, 20 years, and Synaptec isn't going anywhere or changing anything, you know, for the better.
So I'd like to add to that, because I think over the last 10 or 15 years that I've been working on delivering terminal services and VDI-based solutions, I've seen a number of different solutions pop up from different vendors, and they follow that sort of like that Gartner hype cycle. They kind of go up, and everyone's all excited about it, and then reality hits on all the crap that doesn't work. And so AppVert is a great example of that. Like, there were people that were convinced that they were going to get 100% of their applications in AppVert, failed miserably, spent millions of dollars on these projects, and then were like, well, crap, that kind of didn't work.
Do you have to be 100% to be successful? You said 100%.
I think it depends. But here's my point of this. And when we talk about persistent versus non-persistent, here's my thing. If I'm a consultant going in to implement something, and I'm the guy that's been doing this for 15, 20 years, so this is the role I'm in. I go in front of a customer. They tell me, I want to use this OS streaming technology. I want to use a shared cache app streaming technology. I want to use a user environment management technology. I want to use all these different things. So I got 7 products stacked on top to make my non-persistent, you know, super awesome virtual desktop. And you know what the CIO sees when they look at that? Dollar signs of what all the products are going to cost. To purchase the capital expenditure of it. They're looking at like 6 months of my time to engineer a solution that will handle all 2,500 of their applications to fit in one of those models. And then they're dealing with a system that is fragile, that any one of those layers can break down and cause a massive problem. In the persistent world, I fix my storage. I don't have these issues. I have 0. I can deploy virtual desktops in persistent in like 2 weeks' time. If I want to engineer this crazy stack of technology, it will take me 3 to 6 months to roll the first desktop out. I have one fan in the audience.
So there's a gentleman in the audience that agreed with that.
Well, the only thing I would say to counter that is there are companies that have equal amount of technology that cover 6 different products out there. I'm not going to say any names, but you can go to one vendor and solve 6 different problems. So to avoid the dollar sign problem you're talking about, deploy the complexity and kind of piecemealing products that were not meant to work together to solve a problem. There are vendors
I don't think a suite fixes this.
Yeah, it's still
a suite of products does not fix it.
Six different products that might be bundled as a suite, but it is still 6 different products.
I see
Sean's standpoint.
And it's 6 different products on top of all the products that you're already using to manage your physical Windows environment.
It's such a complex system. I mean, that's the thing with VDI. It is extremely complex, right? And that's where I do lean on the persistent model. But I still want to kind of dig into that management thing, because there's 2 sides of this management. I see it as an end-user customer. They want to do this, and it's just simple. It's really simple. It's persistent desktops. I don't care if it's a physical. I don't care if it's
a
virtual.
What do you gain, though? I still struggle with what you gain.
Exactly. That's the flip side of the argument, is that here I can actually deploy it, right? I can get it done. I don't have to really change my mind of thought. This is all persistent. I'm still going to do SCCM. I'm not going to change a lot of policies that take years to bring up to make it efficient. And then but the flip side of this model is if I go fully non-persistent, it completely throws that away. It's like, nope, forget SCCM, forget all these, you know, PCLM type things you're doing. It's that reverse. And so there are things you gain from that, right? So that if I do throw that away, I can, you know, provision a bunch of desktops quickly. I can erase all that kind of stuff.
Multi-site quicker,
yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Multi-site
so,
is good.
So I'll give two reasons on the benefits of the persistent value and kind of talk about the challenge on the non-persistent side. If I choose to do persistent, the number one important takeaway is I don't change anything.
Yep.
I don't train people on how to do their job differently. I don't have to tell them how to do things in a new way. I don't have to send them off to training for 3 weeks to learn how to
and
do the new image
so
lifecycle management, whatever.
What's so much better?
Okay, so what's so much better is I don't spend any additional money to do what I'm doing today. In the non-persistent world, if you take the idea that we're going to do image management and all these other layering technologies and UEM solutions and all these other kind of things, you have to pay to not only implement those things, but to maintain them and train people on how to troubleshoot them and fix them, repair them, whatever. That costs money. It's a huge amount of operational expense that you don't have in this world. There's a big difference.
Well, the money's already sunk in this world, right? It's not that it doesn't cost money. It's that I'm already spending a bunch of money for SCCM. The money is in training. Right, it's
right.
That it's a lot of you put a lot of people that are now SCCM certified or whatever. So I wouldn't say that this doesn't cost money.
Expenses is an expenditure because you need to deploy those tools that they won't require.
Well, it's more expensive with persistent, right? Because you need a desktop for every person at VMworld, right?
Sorry.
Like the reality is, if I need to stroke a check to do VDI and I'm doing persistent, I've got a desktop for every attendee at VMworld, right?
Why is it more expensive?
I'm just saying.
Why
so,
a desktop?
Why is it more expensive?
Virtual desktop. Well, let's just say,
why do you need VDI
let's
desktops?
Say you're the
that's
CEO.
That's going well beyond the scope of this argument.
No. I'm saying the management thing's getting boring. So if we need a desktop for everybody at VMware, these are the employees, right? Everyone needs a desktop. They all come in every day. In the persistent world, everybody needs one, right? So if we're going to get a desktop, we're buying gear for 20,000, I don't know how many people, 20,000, 21,000, 20,000 people, storage, compute, all that stuff. Your management tools stay the same. Right? And people are coming in and going as they please. And the non-persistent, I don't know how many people are in here right now. Let's say there are 10,000 people. I don't need 22,000, you know, seats of view. I don't need 22,000 CPU.
Yeah, you know, but you're talking about assignment, and that's a different story. Non-persistent versus persistent has nothing to do with assignment. You can do floating pools with
But if everybody comes in, you need what? You need all the gear and persistent, right?
But you need it for non-persistent.
Yeah, you need it for non-persistent too.
It depends on concurrency.
I want to hand this over to Jason.
I just want to let you hit one point here.
I got a question for him next.
The point of my article was really about, guys, look, there's a storage technology today.
That's provision.
There is storage technology today that allow us to do persistent desktops and still manage them as the same way. Because we have things like inline deduplication.
It's a lot more cost-effective to do it. It boils down to it's cost-effective to do persistent. 3 years ago, it was not cost-effective to do persistent.
Exactly. It was not cost-effective 3 years ago, but now it's cost-effective. It's feasible to do it.
Yep.
So we need to look at what we're doing and how we're managing all those desktops. And look, I was a big fan. I have articles, if you go back on my blog, I have articles that say the non-persistent desktops is the only way forward. It was at the time, but things have changed.
Okay, so...
multi-site.
So...
licensing costs?
That's cost. Licensing. Are you talking licensing of, like, the persistent stuff?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'll answer the licensing thing. That's a Microsoft problem.
Yeah.
Microsoft sells things based on device. They don't sell things based on concurrency. So it doesn't matter how you provision. It's going to be the same.
Yeah, the licensing, I think, is another argument altogether. What I really want to do is, for Jason Maddox here, is, you know, there's 2 years ago when Gartner hired me and we were talking about VDI and I was giving my architectural references, I remember specifically saying, anyone that does persistent is just wasting money. I remember just saying that. I was big, big non-persistent fanboy. My mind has completely been changed in the past 2 years. and it's largely due to storage. And so I just want to turn to Jason, because Jason, you've got something in this fight, right? Your company is going to be successful. I want to say it would fail if this sure. changes, but it's obviously you've got a lot more into this fight. And I'd just say, how would you respond to give them a chance? How would you respond to sell a fully non-persistent environment?
Well, I think you need the technologies to create the layers that you need, right? So if you're gonna go non-persistent, you're gonna get bursting ability, right, with your resources. You're gonna be able to use less hosts to do more with your infrastructure, because your concurrency isn't always as high, right? You're not gonna, the storage costs have come down. So, but if you've got the right technologies to abstract the departmental apps, allow users to have controlled user installed apps, user persona, and some kind of IOPS solution. Again, not all from different vendors. There are vendors like ourselves that solve a lot of these things in a single stack. We can solve this problem. We talk to customers, and the antivirus is a big one for them. They can recover quickly. That is a fact. We have accounts that say, I was hit twice, and all I did is recomp, and it was a piece of cake to get out of that situation. So, our clients are doing it because they see the need to have these pods that are much smaller, for a non-persistent, burstable environment. And that infrastructure cost, I think, is a lot lower than persistent in the end.
So the infrastructure cost is lower. Infrastructure cost is lower.
Yeah.
So I'll put a counterpoint to that. First of all, I think the notion of resource bursting and that kind of stuff is a silly argument. Because at the end of the day, if a user needs a Windows desktop, the desktop needs to be provisioned and powered on. It doesn't matter whether it's non-PRP, the desktop has to be there. So if I have demand for 10,000 users, I need 10,000 desktops.
Why?
Unless you're doing terminal
server.
That's what
Composer's for. Composer's got the settings in it to allow you to only have X number of desktops minimal available, and it'll burst and expand
that
and contract on the fly.
That has nothing to do with the problem of managing desktops.
But you're saying that the issue is you still have to have the desktop, right? Yeah. I don't have to have the desktop. I can have 100 desktops powered on, and I can have 10 waiting for the next 101, 102 user. I don't have to have 200 desktops powered on for 200 people.
Right.
As users will not wait for a persistent desktop to power on. It's unacceptable. They need to have that resource at their fingertips ASAP when they hit the view
but
client.
But you're also making the assumption there, or you're ignoring the really difficult part about non-persistent versus persistent, which is how do you get the apps into that desktop? Because I don't know about you guys, but I focus primarily on Fortune 500 companies. They have app portfolios ranging from 500 to 5,000 unique applications. So if you guys have some magic sauce that allows everybody to handle all their application mix and provides all the benefits you talk about, non-persistent image composing and a security solution, whatever, then that's awesome. But I have a feeling that given that there's at least 20 vendors in this space and not one of them has been promoted to the top of that list, this is still a work in progress and it is very far off from being perfect.
Oh, I don't think it's ever going to be perfect. It's software, right? And to your point, though, about we have clients that have thousands of applications that are willing to take them out of SCCM and put them into an application layer.
Why?
They want to do that because they want to manage the application independent of the operating system, independent of the image, so they don't have to deal with recomposing.
I have to lean with Sean strongly here. I mean, this is what Gartner sees a lot. We're in these large clients. This is where application virtualization has just kind of been, like you said, on the hype cycle, just kind of, that was bad. But,
because it doesn't work?
No, it's not that app vert doesn't work, it's just it takes a long time, and you're not going to take 5,000 Windows applications and virtualize them. That's where I want to ask the question about layering. I know you guys are working on layering technology, Unidesk obviously doing a lot with that.
Them as well.
That's kind of, Winova.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, I don't know your solution. But when you think about being able to do layering with virtual desktops, like using Mirage as an example, take individual hosts. They're not connected to any kind of storage. You just put a PCI SSD storage there. It's link clones. You don't have the persistent versus non-persistent is not link clones versus full clones. You make a link clones there. You load your image. You layer data. Export data to your central database. The host is on. It's a persistent desktop to this point in time. Unless you lose that host and you reinstate that in a different host with a PCI device, a lot easier. And also, just using the hook, making the hook here, you can use that database that you created with Mirage and export that to a different data center. and reinstantiate that VM automatically in a different data center in a host that only have a PCI device. You don't need SAN, you don't need storage, shared array, which is a different concept than doing non-persistent desktops. Because a non-persistent desktop is really about using disconnect, refresh, and put it up.
It's about the data living outside the desktop, right? So you're in Fortune 500s every day, and that's awesome. So federal, probably similar, right? I mean, primarily federal, large organizations, a ton of politics, concerned with multi-site availability, right? Which I'm sure you get in the Fortune 500 space.
Right.
So, you know, someone who's done this for a living, you walk into an organization, they say, we're East Coast based, and unless we have a disaster, we need to fail over to some spot on the West Coast. From my experience, that is exponentially easier if you can successfully abstract the user data, which is what makes your desktop look like you, from the desktop and replicate that little piece and have two hot view environments and smart load balancing, boom.
So I would agree with that. Here's the problem though. User data is a fraction of 1% of the problem. The problem is the applications. The applications, what takes up the meat of the management problem, is what takes up a meat of the storage problem, is what takes up a meat of the IT operational expense to maintain the packaging and distribution and lifecycle of the applications.
And that's and to why the point, users call help desk?
No, it's just it's what makes up IT's operational expense. And to the point of layering, I want to address this because there's many, many layering vendors. And here's the root problem with layering. You have to have layers that are either read-only or read-write or something like that to handle this. And many vendors tout the benefits of having multiple layers that you have different applications paired together in layers and you compose these together, whatever. Here's the problem at the end of the day. Depending on how they implement their write filter-based solution, you're going to have some I.O. penalty traversing multiple layers into the environment, okay? So if you try to stack 30, 40, 50 layers together, this can get complex. Now, some people would say, oh, you only need two layers. But the problem with two layers is you start to run into this problem of what is the permutation combinations for every single user in a company that has 5,000 applications? Trust me, it's more than two layers. Otherwise, you have persistent desktops.
We are forgetting about the users here. Yeah. It's all about management and IT and how we manage.
And look and feel of the user's desktop, yeah. Right? That's why I threw that.
We're forgetting about the users.
Well, on the layering side, though, you're assuming that the vendor always has a different layer for each app potentially. You know, in our case, you know, we have one app layer. Period. It's using either the wire or it's using VMDKs with link clones. We put apps into a VMDK. It's got a link clone. It's got a read-write temporary cache. Now the app performs as if it's a persistent desktop, but it's a non-persistent app. And so you're basically, it's Composer for apps is what you've got.
So we got to wrap it up, guys.
Okay, so
we
just quick point to that. Okay. So now you're basically telling me that I could have 10,000 virtual desktops all pointed to a single VMDK.
Well, you got VMware limitations on that. That's not us.
Get in the game, right? Andre. Come on, buddy.
All right, we're running out of time here. I want to just kind of throw it out to the crowd. If you just have a question, you want to stand up and yell it, that's fine by me.
I just want to finalize here, just one more.
Okay, if you do it, cut them off.
And we started at knowing where that would go. It's all about use cases. If you have a use case for non-persistent with layering or with image management, whatever, use it. If you have use case for persistent, make it happen. It's about use cases, and you choose what you want to use it.
All right. Any questions, Brian? I just have a feeling you will have one. So.
If non-persistent is so good in social media management, why aren't you doing it today for your current physical desktops? Can you deep freeze or lock down that virtualization environment? So if it's so good and awesome, and you want to do that, go for it. But you don't need PDI to do that.
All right.
Hold
on a second. I'm going to hold on. I got to repeat it for the podcast. So Brian just asked, if non-persistent is so good, it'll feedback. If non-persistent is so good, why aren't we doing non-persistent for physical desktops? That's the question. The team is trying to deliberate. Who will give the answer? Go for it.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well. So make sure I understand it. You're saying if non-persistent was so friggin' awesome, why aren't people saying forget even VDI? Let's just do non-persistent. Physical?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ghost, deep freeze, app virtualization, user environment.
Okay. Why don't we just Pixie boot
desktops,
right?
The gentleman in the office is giving.
No.
Why don't we do non-persistent and have profiles abstracted?
Yeah,
okay.
Freeze,
okay. So, understood. I appreciate the enthusiasm. It's awesome. I think some of it does have to go with use cases. What I often see for people even looking at VDI and giving a shit about VDI is about security. The customers I deal with don't want to make the front page of the Washington Post because there's been user data running around on somebody's laptop. So if I move...
Encryption?
Right, I definitely can't throw a key up into Amazon and crack a key, right? Definitely not. The other thing I would say is the benefit, anything encrypted you can break with enough time or resources, whatever. So the other thing is with non-persistent and abstracting a profile, I'm using something like Liquidware or some other tool, it would work physical or virtual, right? So I could have a physical desktop today, the profile is abstracted, I go home, I don't need to take a machine home, I could connect in from a hotel, log in, and now get to my data, right? And that's a bad, I don't think I'm tracking the question.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna throw this out there, Brian, hold on a second. In the non-persistent world, what are we really getting to? We're getting to a master image that we always come back to. And to Brian's case, we have technology out there that does that. Deep freeze, we see it in education a lot, right? Where you just, for labs, we go back to that.
What is deep freeze?
Deep freeze just locks the base OS.
It's a write filter.
Same thing. It'll just kill everything that you've done, so, and then when you reboot it, it comes right back.
I think the reason why you see that in education, to be honest, is because you're looking at situations where everybody shares the exact same stuff. And if everyone shares the exact same stuff, deep freeze is a perfect solution. Likewise, non-persistent VDI is a perfect solution. But in my world, things aren't that simple. I have 4,000 or 5,000 applications across 30,000 desktops. It's not easy to say everyone's going to share this one image, because that just doesn't work.
All right, 2 minutes left. I'm giving it to this guy, because I only got 2 minutes. I'm going to let him.
So why are education customers that can use deep freeze going after non-persistent every single day? Every day. We see education.
They're doing it already.
They're going to VDI and they're going non-persistent. They're not using deep freeze. They're dumping that and going non-persistent VDI. Same with healthcare. They're doing the exact same thing all the time. Why? Why don't they just do what you're talking about?
It's a use case. It's a use case thing. I mean, that's why you see VDI do well in healthcare and education.
And honestly, the primary reason why education and hospitals and healthcare are moving to VDI has nothing to do with the fact that your non-persistent is better than Ferranis deep freeze. It's because of the fact that it's central. They don't have to have somebody sitting in front of the PC to do the reset and deployment and maintenance. That's the reason why.
But they're still going non-persistent when I see it. I mean,
because they have a use case that fits.
On a good use case, yeah. All right. Jason's, Andre, Sean, I appreciate your time. Thanks, everyone, for coming out here. And that's it.